Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Reading verse 1 through 5 for now. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, greedy, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." This is part 5 of my series, "The Entrance of Thy Words Giveth Light." And I'm a little congested today. I apologize for the sound of my voice. But Heavenly Father, once again we come to you, believing you, believing that the Word of God is true, and it has power to change the heart, to change the life, and to get us to heaven. We believe your Word. And Lord, as we study it today, open the eyes of the people's understanding as Paul prayed. Please touch the hearts, touch the minds. Please affect the soul of everyone listening as I preach today. And Lord, we're careful to give Jesus Christ all the credit. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, this list fits the 21st century so well. Perilous times shall come. All you have to do is look at this virus nonsense. And the rioting in 35 Democrat-led cities, all trying to get rid of Trump. Okay, leave the politics. Lovers of their own selves. Boy, that nails it. Covetousness. Everybody's out. Everybody wants money. Everybody, it's all about money and what I can get and me, what have you. Boasters, proud, blasphemers. Well, I guess have to scratch our head on that, perhaps. Disobedient to parents. Man, that does it right there. That probably describes our generation more than anything else here. Disobedient to parents. And you can extend it to disobedient to the teachers and the principals in school. Kids do what they want, say what they want. No repercussions. And it goes on, without natural affection. If there's a natural or normal affection, well, we have 53 genders now, I believe the count is. And the nuclear family, that's mom and dad, a couple of kids, dog and two cars, what have you, that idea that when I was a kid was there, and my parents, maybe your parents, They lived in a different society from the one we have today. And the list goes on here. But I want to say that Paul is not talking about sinners outside of the church. He's talking about people in the church. This is not a recitation of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. It's not the gift of the Spirit. A description of sin, that's what this is, and self. But he's describing people in the church in the last days, which is what we are in. These are the last days. Perilous times. In verse 5, Paul said this list that I've given you, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They're religious on the outside, but they deny the power that the Bible talks about. They deny the power that's available today to anyone that would simply believe and to trust and to surrender their hearts to God. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And he says, from such, turn away. There's power. We used to sing, there's power in the blood. We used to sing of deliverance. Maybe your church doesn't have them. But in the old days, and I don't mean that long ago, in the old days, every church, they had hymnals. Maybe if you want to visit an old Baptist church or something, they still have the hymnals in the back of the pew in front of you. And I challenge you, pick up a hymnal next time you run across one and thumb through it and just read. And these songs, these hymns, they talk of what God can do if we will but trust Him. There's deliverance from sin first, and bad habits, and drug addiction, and alcoholism. You know, Bill and that other guy, what's his name, Ted, I forget. They wrote that book, What Have You. One of the guys that started AA was a medical doctor, and he was not a Christian. He was against Christianity. And back then, 100 years ago, whenever the book was written, it was common. Everybody knew that drunkenness was a sin. Everybody knew it. Everybody knew that a party lifestyle, which, you know, that's not the word they used back then, but that lifestyle, everybody knew that was wrong. And everybody knew that if you drank and drank and drank and became a drunk, an alcoholic, a drunk, a bum, everybody knew that it was a result of sin. But this medical doctor, the term sin, that the idea of sin bothered him because he was not a Christian. He didn't believe the book. And he says, no, it's not sin. Drunk, you have a disease. And hey, it's a disease. I'm a medical doctor. I can cure you or try to. But no, it's not a sin. Well, yeah, it's a sin. Alcoholism is a sin. Drug addiction is a sin. Rioting in the streets is a sin, if I can say. But the gospel was true 100 years ago. The gospel was true 2,000 years ago when Jesus died and rose from the grave. and the gospel is true today. There is power available to anyone. Whatever your trouble, whatever your problem, bring it to God. Trust in Him. Depend upon Him, and He can deliver you. Deliverance. It's not a word we use today anymore. But if you're in a jam, God can get you out. He can set you free. Again, the church used to believe this. The church used to preach this. And deliverance first starts with repentance. But again, we don't want to talk about that anymore. And these that Paul is talking about, he said they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, and to turn away from such. But then Paul shifts gears a little bit in the next verse, next two verses. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden or burdened down with sins, led away with diverse lusts or passions or what have you, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Again, as Pilate said, what's truth? What's truth is that we're sinners. But God so loved the world, and you know John 3:16. Put your trust in Christ, the one that died for us. He rose from the dead. 40 days later, He went back to heaven, and if we trust in God, we can go to heaven too. That's the truth. But this language in verse 6 is strange. For of this sort, and he's talking about this description of the worldly spirit, the zeitgeist of our day. Ministers of that sort creep into houses. How does somebody creep into a house? They break in. Maybe when you're not there, maybe when you're asleep, they break in. They break in and lead captive, or take captive, abduct, kidnap, what have you, silly women, laden with sins, etc. How do you do that? How does a burglar come into a house when nobody knows and steal the woman of the house? It's not talking about physical. It's not talking about literally breaking and entering and abducting. But that television you have in your living room, you can turn on to the Harvest Channel or TBN or Daystar, and people will sit on the couch. Mostly women will sit on, and you can get upset at me, that's fine. You can turn me off, get upset, that's fine. But I'm telling you what the Word of God says, and this prophecy that Paul 2,000 years ago gave, or 1900, however many years ago it was, he prophesied of our day today. Women sitting in front of the television and being led away, and taken captive, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts or passions, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Get mad at me, that's fine. The leading women's ministers on TV do exactly this. They pet and pamper the emotions and the feelings and the fretting and the guilt. They pamper and pet this. And the poor woman on the sofa, not having any other deliverance, women eat this up. I don't have to call the names. You know the leading women's ministers on TV. You know who I'm talking about. You know the books. You probably have the books at home. You've been to the conferences. You sent your money. But you're not any better. You're not any better. But there's deliverance. There's freedom from sin. Romans chapter 8, verse 13, "For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die." Ye shall die. Spiritual death. "But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." Mortify. You know what a mortician is. You know what he does for a living. He takes dead people and pretties them up and puts them in the casket. To mortify means to kill something. If you pamper and pet the emotions and the feelings, if you feed those things, you'll die, Paul said. But if you mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." But you have to believe it. You have to live it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh," the soul, the emotions, the feelings, crucify them. Crucify the flesh with the affections and the lusts. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Paul and others say to kill the flesh, the emotions, the feelings, etc. You know, none of these things, feelings and emotions and what have you, none of them are really much mentioned in the Bible. There's a couple of people here or there that had some kind of fit or whatever, but for the most part, you don't find it in the Bible. And the Bible is our yardstick. The Bible tells us of the things of the soul and the spirit. The Bible is where we go to get our answer. But it doesn't much talk about emotions and feelings and what have you. We shouldn't be afraid to call something sin and to repent. And to beg God for forgiveness and for freedom. In another place, Paul says to put off or lay aside the besetting sins that we have. Just live for God. Forsake self. Forsake yourself. You go to the bookstore. Pick a bookstore. Any bookstore. Secular, Bible bookstore. It doesn't matter. Half the place is full of self-help books. How to improve self, how to get over this, how to do that. It's psychological nonsense. It glorifies self. But we just read the scriptures, you need to kill self. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Forsake self. Crucify the flesh. Not feed it. Not offer it a cookie. There's a right way. There's a Bible way to live for God. There's a Bible way to be a Christian. We need to take self off the throne, repent of our sins, flee the devil, set our face steadfastly toward heaven, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and take our marching orders from the Bible. And it's not just the women's ministry. It's a lot of stuff, but there's no such thing, listen to me, there's no such thing as a women's gospel. There's no such thing as women's needs that are apart from men's needs. Now, I understand that women are more emotional than men. That's fine. Women and men are complementary. That's how God made us. But the idea that the gospel is insufficient for the needs of women is a lie from the pit of hell. The woman at the well, I talk about her so often, she went away satisfied, a river of water, a well of water in her heart, springing up into everlasting life. She was satisfied when she met Christ. And Zacchaeus, when he came down out of that tree, he too, his soul was satisfied. The answer is the same, men and women. But to say that women are special, and that the gospel just doesn't quite work, is a lie. It's a trap. It's a lie. And it will lead you to hell. Put your trust in Christ. And don't let television ministers creep into your house and lead your women away. They've still got their sins, laden with sins, Paul said, and still full of diverse lusts or emotional problems or whatever. You can be free. You can be free if you but trust in Christ. Turn that TV off, stick your nose in the book, and walk on with Jesus Christ. You can be free. Again, there's not two gospels, one for men and a special one for women. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 25. So Christ was once, one time, offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. Again, he came once, he's coming back. And if you look for him, if you love his appearing, another verse said, he'll come back for you without sin, unto salvation. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Jesus died once and for all. He died one time and it counts for everyone. Whosoever will, Jesus said, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. One message, doesn't matter if you're male or female or one of the other 51 genders, I suppose. Come to Christ. Live for him. Forsake yourself, and he'll take you to heaven. Again, Jude, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. One, it's a common one. It's not diverse, it's everybody gets the same salvation, the same gospel message, male and female. But then Jude says, hey, I got to write to you again, that you need to be written to again, and you need to be exhorted again, that you should earnestly contend for the faith that we delivered to you the first time, so that you can be saints of God. And I'll close with this. If you read Proverbs chapter 31, that wonderful chapter, it talks about a godly woman. No mention in that chapter is made of the portrait of women that are painted by the women preachers on television. Again, get mad at me. I understand, get mad at me. But the gospel paints a different picture. The gospel presents a different message. And if you will forsake self and emotions and feelings and what have you, you can be like that godly woman in Proverbs chapter 31. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net and click the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 3111 46th Street, Metairie, Louisiana 7001. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.